When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Free agency is on the horizon, and there's been a lot of news thrown around about what the Texans are going to do. We're going to talk about that and more on this edition of The Bullpen. Hello and welcome to this edition of The Bullpen, this Free Agent Friday, the last edition of Free Agent Friday before free agency starts. Tom, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I just saw the intro, the squabble. Fun fact, Fortnite, the video game, had the squabble up for a certain amount of time as like a celebration you could do. Meant to download it, missed it, but it would have been nice.
It would have been nice. I mean, you've been seeing it everywhere. I was at, believe it or not, a USC women's basketball game, with, you know, what's her face, Juju. She's like the latest women's basketball star, that'll probably take the mantle from Caitlin Clark, and they played the squabble. But that's because it's Southern California. That's like a thing out here. So
I mean, he's from there, so it makes sense.
And he's from there, so I mean, But yeah, so let's squabble, if you will, on over into the discussion. Oh, God, I feel so lame for that. We got another kid on the way, and the dad gene is taking over hard.
Got dad jokes on lock.
So Aaron Wilson broke a whole bunch of news earlier this week, and we kind of talked about it on Mock Draft Monday. But I'd like to kind of talk about it more, just like really – for this episode, we'd really just like to talk about, you know, free agents that we desire the Texans, get our finalized, like what we think the Texans should do, and kind of talk about who's leaving and who could be coming back and how we see it playing out. So a lot of hypotheticals, discussions. And I want to start with the most important discussion, which is Kymie Fairbairn, kicker for the Texans.
You got to say his whole name since we're going to talk about him. And you like to type it. You might as well say it.
I don't know how to say it. I really wish I knew how to say it. Didn't your brother like actually look it up? He actually said it out loud, and I was like, oh, wow.
I'm never
typing that out again because people are gonna think I know how to say it. Oh no, I'm gonna leave that to Patrick Storm, who probably actually knows how to say it. But Kymie Fairbairn hits free agency. How are you feeling about that? Because like I know I put out a poll earlier in the offseason. I said, should the Texans re-sign Kymie Fairbairn? I didn't really like specify price or anything. And per Aaron Wilson's report, it's going to be expensive if the Texans decide to bring him back. 95% of Texans fans in that poll, which was like 400 people, said, yeah, re-sign and bring him back with no knowledge of the conditions under which he returns. Do you, based off what you've seen from him in his career, or at least this last season, believe that he's worth re-signing to the team? Just like, I don't know. What's your number?
For me, if it's going to be a premium dollar, the answer is no. And based on some other information that we'll get into that was being kind of floated around on different positions and players, things of that nature, I feel like while, don't get me wrong, kicker is a very important position. Like I can't overstate that enough. You just rarely see, unless it's like the elite of the elite kickers, get paid premium dollar. And while I think Kymie's very good, I think he's missed kicks too. So where that point of, okay, now I'm paying him like one of the top four or five kickers in the league, I can't get with that. And I guess maybe I'm in the minority apparently by your poll. But
you are certainly not on the same side as me in this debate. And I'll bring the whole special teams unit in, right? We already re-signed John Weeks, so long snapper's back. We've talked at length about Frank Ross and what he's done with the special teams unit. And I think we have to acknowledge what the role that Cam Johnston, aka Bill Burr, aka Punt God, you know, the real one, and Kyami Fairbairn have played in this special teams unit and why they've been so good. To your point, I don't know if you're just like viewing it as like top four or five kickers in the league right now, but at some point this year, it may have changed. But as far as I know, Kyami Fairbairn is a top 10 in kicker in terms of accuracy all time. So he hits. I think that there's a sour taste in some people's mouth from the missed extra point going into the play or against the Colts. There was a couple, maybe one or two. I'll tell you this. All I had to see this season to know that, like, give Kyami Fairbairn the bag is I watched Matt Amendola kick for the Texans. And I watched him kick for the Texans and thought maybe Dario Bungawale would probably be a better option to send out there. And that, to me, was enough to make me think, yeah, I'm thinking Kyami Fairbairn should probably be re-signed. I mean, aside from the cool name, I'm just looking at his skill level. And he's just easily one of the best kickers of all time based on accuracy. And I think that in his time in a Texans uniform, he's been clutch. I would say he's probably the best kicker in Texans history. I can't think of one that I'd put in front of him. I don't know. You seem shocked. Is there another kicker you'd put in front of him?
I'm probably thinking about I'm thinking about Shane Leckler. I'm thinking about a punter. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. No, yeah. I mean, I'm going with like Neil Rackers, Chris Brown, Randy Bullock. I'm not seeing a name that sticks out in front of Kyami Fairbairn.
And I understand. And all your logic is valid. It's just, like I said, we're going to get into some other stuff. And if money's finite and I need to move it around in order to make things happen in other positions, I'd probably rather be kind of frugal at kicker. I just would. You know, I think when he got re-signed last time, people kind of looked at that contract and was like, it's a lot of money for a kicker. And then every time he misses, you're kind of like, it's a lot of money for a miss. So I get you. He's very accurate, but he has some injuries. He's getting up there in age a little bit. Maybe draft a guy, you know?
I mean, I just look at what the Browns and Bucks went through and the 49ers most recently with drafting a guy and bragging about it and the initial success of it and then looking through the inexperience and missing important kicks. And all I can say is this. I'm looking into the future, right? I don't do like my storybook endings right now. It's off season, but I'm going to give you my future, you know, how it could go versus how it should go, right? So let's say the Texans don't re-sign Kyami Fairbairn and they go into the draft and they draft insert kicker who is available, or they pick up an unsigned, or maybe they go Rodrigo Blankenship. That's a name that pops off the top of my head who I think could be solid and kind of got did dirty by the Colts. But let's say they do go with a different kicker that's not Kyami clutch Fairbairn, and they make this Super Bowl run that we're all talking about, and they're getting in there, and it's the Super Bowl. It's not like CJ Stroud's going to step in and dominate the team we play. It's going to be a good game. Usually, I mean, I've not seen very many Super Bowls that I wanted to turn off at halftime because they were that bad. And we get to the final play, and CJ, you know, it's a 1-point game, and the Texans get the ball with 30 seconds left, and CJ just, by the grace of God, puts the ball in Tank Dell's hands, you know, and we're at the 30-yard line, and it's a decently, let's say 34-yard line, and it's a decently long field goal. So the Texans send out whoever they drafted and boom, wide right, not even close. Like this kick, it barely had the length, but it was definitely not accurate. And the first word out of every Texans fan's mouth, why didn't we use some of our cap space on Kyami Fairbairn? He's one of the 10 most accurate kickers of all time. So in my mind, right, I get it. It's a large cap hit to take for special teams. But I mean, and that's the reason I bring in Cam Johnston and John Weeks, is that unit as a whole has been so incredibly reliable in terms of flipping the field, in terms of setting up this team for success in the way that they can. that, I mean, I, if that cap number jumps up a little bit, I mean, the cap space jumped. And if there's a place that we have to spend it, I mean, I'm not opposed to putting a portion of the cap space towards this, because the other side of that is the Texans are now setting up at the 34-yard line, 2 seconds on the clock, and Kyami Fairbairn is lining up to kick that field goal. I'm celebrating before it leaves the backfield. I'm ready, because Kyami Fairbairn is making that kick. 100%. I have no doubt in my mind, because he is the best kicker in Texans history, and he is a clutch kicker. He's got that in him. So I don't sweat a little bit of cap space on the special teams unit. But enough about the special team. I feel like we've talked, that was a really long conversation about the special teams. Not gonna lie.
I want to make one more point.
I'll let you do it. You got it.
The kicker on the Super Bowl championship team the last 5 years, who was he?
I think it was Butker at least once or twice, based on the fact that he is.
So Harrison Butker, right?
Yeah.
Harrison Butker was drafted by who?
I want to say he was drafted by the Titans. I'm not sure.
Carolina drafted him. Round 7, pick 233. Carolina waived Harrison Butker. And now he plays for the Chiefs and he wins all the things and he's very good. But like, he wasn't a good kicker. And now he's perfectly adequate. I don't think that the Texans are going to win Super Bowls on field goal kicks. I think they're going to win them on the arm of C.J. Stroud. So if you're going to tell me that I need to pay Kyami Fairbairn $5, $6, $7, $8 million a year, whatever that number is, Harrison Butker makes $5 million a year. You can get him for that. Sign me up. Anything more than that, I need to look somewhere else.
I'll leave it at that. I mean, I feel like I've said all I have to say on that. I don't even know, right? Much like the poll I told you about, I don't even know what the cap hit would be. Like, I'm just on board without knowing that. And so I'm glad that you had a different opinion. This would be a really boring discussion if you didn't. So
Blankenship could come in and be automatic all of a sudden.
I thought Blankenship was good. And that's so that situation to me is not that bad. Simply put, I think that the Colts, you know, they fumbled that bag. I don't even know who they brought in. I just know that he missed like one or two field goals and they just like dropped him. But that's like, that's the kind of league it is. I feel like kicker's one of the harder positions to make it in. But I digress. Looking at some of the other situations that the Texans are in, we have to look at the running back room. And we've kind of, I feel like we've had this discussion a couple of times, but we'll go about it. There's some new information on it. Saquon wants to be in Houston is what the rumors say. He's been in talks with CJ Stroud. Stroud's been recruiting or legal tampering. I don't know what the term is. Players can talk to each other. So if Saquon's, you know, scoping it out, he's scoping it out. There's talk about Singletary. The Texans want him back. They're working towards that. They could sign two backs. DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard would be names that come up. Josh Jacobs, name a running back that's a free agent right now. And they probably want to be in Houston, which I don't blame them. I mean, in my unbiased opinion, Houston is the place to be if you're a running back. That's, yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest. But what are your thoughts on this? And where do you think the Texans will end up in this if you had to guess?
So I've never thought that it made much sense to sign two running backs. I thought that, you know, there was plenty of holes to fill. There's going to be a lot of money that needed to be spent. They have a lot of money to spend, but if you're going to start investing serious coin in the running back room, I think it's you're going to have to save money elsewhere. Hence my issue with paying Kyami Fairbairn premium dollar if I'm going to go sign two running backs. I didn't think that was going to be something that was feasible. But now we've got Aaron Wilson potentially talking about the Texans signing two running backs. So if that's something they feel they need to do, well, then you're going to have to skip somewhere else. So while I don't agree with it, I'm also not cutting the checks. So if that's what they're looking at, sign me up for it. I feel bad for Damian Pierce. I feel like this is going to spell the end of him of some form of fashion, because there's no way you come back from being third running back, you know. Somebody said you might as well trade him. He's probably like on the roster for special teams and then cut if they need to cut somebody, which is crazy to me when you think about where he was however many months ago, 15 months ago, something like that. So I don't know. It's interesting. I personally would sign Josh Jacobs and keep him – or I'm sorry. I would sign him too, but I would sign Saquon Barkley and keep him moving. I know the loyalty thing with Singletary, and I think he's great. But are you really going to pay him a pay raise, because I imagine he wants it, to do less work?
Yeah, and that's the toughest part about that is like with the two running back thing, my hope would be that Singletary is really as great a guy as everyone says he is and really wants to be in Houston bad enough to take that like pay cut or maybe like just make the same amount. I mean, but I understand that football is a business. And so as someone who is level-headed and understands how business works, I'm not like holding my breath that Singletary is coming back if the Texans move into Saquon. So for me, I think it's always been the Saquon train. All offseason, that's been the primary storyline. I mean, I've had my hand in stoking the flame on that one to some extent. And trust me, I would love to have Saquon Barkley on the Texans. What I think it comes down to is we have to really – I'm really going to grasp onto this because I feel like when D'Amico said this, this was the breadcrumb that like everyone needed to pay attention to, and everyone did. I mean, as far as I know, everyone caught on to it. But the person over player mentality, I think, is going to have a heavy hand in it. So what it comes down to for me is when Saquon does come to Houston to get pitched, you know, coming to Houston and his offer, I think that D'Amico and Nick are going to be really closely monitoring the kind of person that he is. They're going to be talking to CJ because apparently CJ talked to him, and they're going to be trying to figure out, hey, is Saquon a fit for our culture? Is he the person that we want playing running back? And if he's not, I think signed Singletary. They know what they have in Singletary. And I the more I think about it, the more I'm not opposed to bringing him back as RB1, under the pretense that maybe you have a veteran back come in, and he is the veteran back, but you bring in another person to fill maybe a role. In my mind, if you're going to go two running backs, you go Derrick Henry and you try and get the bruiser out of him. You kind of use him in more of like the run him over kind of guy. And then you stick Singletary in the same role he's been playing, but you take some of that workload and put it onto Henry. But I mean, and the only reason I say that is because I saw the reports say that there is legitimate interest at least on Derrick Henry's end in coming to Houston, which I didn't think was a realistic possibility. But I mean, like I said, who wouldn't want to be in Houston? So I could see it playing out anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if they just sign Saquon and move on. I mean, that to me is the clear cut move if they like him. But if they don't, I think that Singletary easily gets re-signed for maybe a slight pay raise, and they try and find, and they could go maybe Tony Pollard as like a guy to spell Singletary is a thing I've seen thrown around out there that I wouldn't be opposed to, because I don't like bringing in Tony Pollard just by himself to be the feature back. But I think that Tony Pollard really excelled in that role behind Zeke. And so I don't know if Singletary can play Zeke very well, but I think having another back to kind of take some of that load off sets up Tony Pollard for success. But at the end of the day, I'm all for Mike, or sorry, I'm all for Saquon Barkley. That's really what I'd like to see.
I feel like with this team primed to do what a lot of fans think that they're capable, and a lot of big media talking heads think this team is capable of, to come out of free agency with coming back with Devin Singletary at a similar number or maybe, you know, just a slight decrease from what Saquon could get or Josh Jacobs, or, you know, I don't necessarily feel the Henry thing. I think they got all the good stuff out of him in Tennessee. I think he's burnt toast. I also wonder about Pollard, if they rode him hard and that's why he's kind of, you know, regressed. But if you're telling me that there's a possibility that they could improve the running back room, not to take anything away from Devin Singletary, but I don't believe that Devin Singletary and Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley are in the same tier. Maybe I'm just wrong, but I think they got to explore that. I think you got to take advantage of the fact that you're not paying CJ Stroud the money that he's going to get eventually. And you do what you can to improve everywhere else so that you maximize this window. And while Singletary would not be terrible, it would not be an upgrade.
I think that the big problem I have with bringing Singletary back, and we've spoken to it at length, but I'll speak to it again. You know me, I like to talk about the Texans. So, but the starting five for the Texans offensive line is likely on the roster. The only position that could be in question is left guard. There are big contracts at right tackle, left tackle, and right guard. And then you've got your rookie in Juice Scruggs to start at center. So really it's just Jarrett Patterson or Kenyon Green, depending on who you like, or they could look to bring in a veteran. I don't think they'll go to the draft for that position, but I've been wrong before. But all that to say, the issue with the run game last year was twofold. It was the running back room was, you know, Damian Pierce didn't quite fit the scheme as well as I think maybe they thought he would. And then when they turned to Devin Singletary, he had some success, but the other part of the problem was the offensive line wasn't necessarily well geared to block for the run. They did all right pass blocking, but due to injuries and inconsistencies, I felt like the run game kind of suffered. And so with that, if you're going to ride with the same offensive line and you're going to hope that they maybe improved at run blocking, or maybe they fit the scheme better, or the real thing that you're hoping for is that they're just healthy. Then you're looking at what's the other thing you can fix, and that's the running back room. So if you run it back with Devin Singletary, you're telling the fan base that you don't think he had any hand in being the problem last year. And if you don't get results out of him, that's going to be frustrating to see, especially if the run game becomes a significant problem again this year and someone or anyone turns to it and says, that's why we didn't go all the way. That's why we fell short this year. So with the understanding that the Texans are likely not going to do anything except for add depth to the offensive line, you have to make a move at running back. And I know that the history behind signing running backs is not strong, not commonly the path by which you find success. But that's why I think you maybe go and sign one running back, whether it's Saquon or anyone, really, and then you find one in the draft, third to fifth round, and you know maybe like a Braylon Allen, and you see if you can develop one. See if maybe you do what you did with Damian Pierce 2 years ago and you strike gold for a season. I mean, that's all you can really ask for. But on that note, another highly contentious topic has been the use of the franchise tag. Nick Cassiera has not done it. There had been people kind of throwing around, hey, maybe it's Jonathan Greenard. Those tag numbers came out. The $21.5 million that it would cost to pay him under the franchise tag is probably more than the Texans would want to pay him in any given year, just for the sake of their cap space and being able to add more talent. So I didn't see it as a good fit, but recent reports have said that talks with Dalton Schultz at tight end are going pretty all right. Dalton Schultz wants to be back, but if they were to stall, it's viewed that the Texans could use the franchise tag on Dalton Schultz. That franchise tag is $12.6 million, which would be about a $3.5 million raise for Dalton Schultz for another year of him. Do you think that there's a universe where it makes sense to tag Schultz or even to extend him as opposed to maybe testing the free agent market to see if you can get like a Noah Fant or maybe drafting a tight end and rolling with Brevin Jordan combined with any number of those solutions? How do you view the tight end position?
I view the tight end position hopefully with Dalton Schultz in it. I've never thought the franchise tag made any sense money-wise to anyone. You're basically, I believe the way they formulate that number is they take the top five salaries from that position and they average it out, and that's your franchise tag. So you're basically saying, I don't want to pay the guy, but I don't want to lose the guy. So I'm willing to overpay the guy for 1 year to hopefully find a way to not pay him as much in the future. So from that perspective, I've never thought that the franchise tag made any sense in any capacity unless you turned around and tagged them to turn around and sign them. And we'll see. I mean, I feel like there's a world where Dalton Schultz makes sense financially for the Texans. I know some people kind of like, you know, lost the loving feeling for him towards the end of the season because they felt he didn't block very well. And, you know, tend to overlook all the times that he made grabs that, you know, kept drives going and made that offense successful. So I really hope they figure it out without the franchise tag. If they can do it, I understand it because that's the cheaper of some of the other tags out there. So I definitely don't want to see them tag Grenard. I definitely don't want to see them tag, you know, somebody that's going to make more than the, what is it, 12 or 13 million? So
12.6.
12.6, okay. I hope that, you know, they come to something on a 2-3 year deal, something like that. And, you know, like you said, draft a tight end, you know, to mold or something.
It would be ideal. Now to speak to your point about why people view him adversely, I think that it was all rainbows and butterflies and until, you know, late in the season, he had, I think, 2 or 3 drops that were, especially in the playoff game against the Browns, that it was like, you can't do that. I said in the moment, like, they're not, the Browns are a defense that are going to punish you. They're not going to let you live that down. And that's going to be a key play that we're going to look back on. Turns out the Browns will let you do just about anything. if you've got CJ Stroud playing on your team. So, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I guess that takes credit away from the other players that helped, but I mean, CJ made that defense look significantly less good than they did, you know, the weeks prior. But looking at that game, looking at some of those drops, sure. There's a lot of fans that I think overplay his lack of blocking. I think that's something that can be addressed by bringing on another tight end that can block. Or that's primarily a blocker. I mean, I feel like most tight end depth past tight end 1 and 2 is usually just a guy who's probably an undersized tackle, essentially. I mean, so I think that can be an address there. I mean, I don't know if you remember. I remember him, you know, basically making a bad Case Keenum throw into a season-saving catch against the Titans. And so, I feel like there's issues on both sides where, like, one side is like, we shouldn't re-sign him because he's bad and they're looking at a very few moments. And the other side is give him every single bit of money we have because he made a couple of good catches. And at the end of the day, what it is that I think Nick Caserio gave him $9 million this past year. I think he may have played to earn maybe a little bit of a raise. And so if they can come to an annual pay and an APY that fits that, then I'm all for it. And if it's too high, I'll be frustrated, but I don't think that you can, based on what CJ has said about Dalton and based on what Dalton has done for the Texans, just, you know, looked at as a whole body of work. I can't be mad about having him back on the team unless it's like an obscenely large contract that seems like a huge overpay. I don't think that Nick Caserio is capable of speaking the words overpay on purpose. I mean, he has overpaid some players and there's some contracts on this team that, in retrospect, don't look as good as they really never looked good. But to that point, I mean, I'm all for bringing Dalton Schultz back. Looking at the linebacker position, Blake Cashman is expected to be gone, is what I get out of the report. I mean, he's going to probably command more money than the Texans want to pay him. They're talking about Anees El-Shazzir being like a potential replacement for him. How do you feel about his departure? I know he's like probably he was the leading tackler on the team and probably the best coverage linebacker that the Texans had this past season. Do you think it's a huge, do you think it's hard to replace him? Or do you think the Texans plan in place probably like mitigates that loss?
Of all the positions that the Texans have holes where they need to go out and find either re-signing someone or going to the draft to draft someone, the linebacker position is probably the least of the critical, in my opinion, because they probably have the best teacher of that position as the head coach of the football team. So when you tell me that D'Amico is going to groom whoever he brings in to be that guy, I truly believe that you can let a guy like Blake Cashman go, who played very, very well and is going to earn the bag he's going to get, because of the ability to coach up the next guy. It'll be really interesting to see what they do, how they go about it. I think the draft is probably where I see them, you know, fixing the linebacker position. But like you said, there's free agents that'll be out there that they could potentially take a look at. But if you're signing 2 running backs, can you afford linebacker. You know, if you're signing a kicker to premium dollar, can you afford a linebacker? They're going to have to make some interesting financial decisions about some of these positions because of the money that these guys have earned. All of these guys that are due for pay raises justifiably have earned them, and that's a byproduct of being a good football team. Good football teams lose good players because other people want good players, and you have now made this guy look very, very good. So when you say Dalton Schultz gets a raise, he's earned it. When you say John Grenard gets a raise, he's earned it. Kyahmi Fairbairn earned it. I can't argue that, and I know that you can't pay all of them, so you're going to have to pick and choose. And I think linebacker is probably the easiest place to replace somebody and trade them up, because you see what Henry Toa did in 1 year. You see what Christian Harris has done in 2 years. And I think that you can absolutely get production through the drafts coached up.
100%. I mean, I agree with you all the way. I mean, I'm looking at Nick Caserio's free agency strategy. It makes sense for the time, 1 and 2 year deals. I think I looked at who we needed to re-sign and who was you know, a free agent this year. And the list was longer than I had hoped it would be, but it's not surprising based off how the Texans have handled roster building and maintaining talent over the past couple of years. So while it's tough, I mean, that's just part of the game. So, I mean, I trust based off the decisions that Nick Caserio's made throughout his time with the Texans and how they've come to fruition over time, that whatever he decides to do this offseason is probably either in the immediate or distant future going to be beneficial to the team. Looking, there's two more free agents that are leaving the team that we haven't talked about, which is Sheldon Rankins. There's mutual interest in bringing him back. And then the Texans are also interested in bringing back Steven Nelson. Of those two players, just rapid fire, you know, yes or no, do you think they're coming back?
I'd like to see Rankins back. I think he's very good. Nelson, there's some really good talent in the draft. So I think depending on where they sit with their first couple picks and how the draft shakes out, because guys are rising and that's going to push some guys down. Maybe they handle one or both of those positions in the draft. I think corner is a little deeper than D tackle. So based on that, I'd hope they try to figure something out with Sheldon and then maybe go after another corner. Although Derek Stingley Jr. spoke out on Twitter. You know,
you put that lock emoji on there.
Yep. 21 to 24. So if the player versus person thing matters, and you know, that's something that they want to continue building that bond. Well, we'll see.
That's what I'm thinking too. And so honestly, these are both positions where the Texans could very easily re-sign both guys and still go into the draft and pull a guy. Or pick up a guy just based off of the fact that they might want to really load up on young and veteran talent at the positions. Of the two, I'm a little personally more inclined to bring back Sheldon Rankins. I feel like his six sacks, his impact in general was felt, and it'd be nice to have him back on the team. I think that, you know, the debate on Steven Nelson definitely centers around the, do you believe it's person over player, or, you know, you look at what he is versus what he was. I mean, he's an older guy who had a really good season, and a lot of times teams fall into that trap where they see a guy have a season like that and they throw some money at him and then it's not the same the next season. So that's, I think, the thing that's sitting in the back of fans' heads. I mean, I think that Steven Nelson has a dog mentality, just from what I've seen on Twitter and from what I've seen from him in interviews. So I think that the person definitely fits in the locker room. It's just a matter of if they think the money makes sense. If there's another team that's going to pay him more to be there, I could easily see that being a thing. But yeah, so of the two, I mean, I think Sheldon Rankins has higher odds of being back. I wouldn't mind bringing them both back, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in that brain trust that is Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. So I said at the beginning of the episode we were going to do this. So I just want you to rapid fire and I'll go after you. I mean, we're going to go question by question. I got a couple of them. Who is your like premier free agent target? Like if you could pick one person that is known to be hitting the free agent market, it's not going to be tagged. And you could say, hey, Texan, that guy's a Texan. Who is it?
Saquon Barkley.
Okay, yeah. I see that. I am also of that volition. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm going to throw my hat. That was easier than I thought it would be.
I just feel like, yeah, there's some sexy names in other positions. That right there is going to be the biggest game changer for that offense. And I think the defense can be groomed through the draft.
There's a lot of talk about prospects free agents at the linebacker and defensive tackle position that the Texans could pursue. And at the end of the day, I'd like to bring back, Rankins. I think that he's great. So, I mean, I think he does the job, and you bring in maybe another young guy in the draft. And then linebacker, like you said, we've got a coach that's basically designed to develop them. So putting all that money on Patrick Queen or one of the, you bring in a veteran presence because you're losing Denzel Perryman and Blake Cashman, but you don't have to like make your whole linebacker core these, older guys or these more experienced guys. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to go with Saquon Barkley. Who in your mind is a player that has been mentioned as a potential Texans target that you kind of cringe a little when you hear that the Texans could be looking into them?
For the longest time, it was T. Higgins, but now they're going to tag him. So I guess the ones that I kind of worry about are any wide receiver linked to the Texans, because I'm seeing all this great wide receiver talent of the draft. They already have good young wide receivers. If they're also talking about extended Nico, that means Nico is clearly wide receiver one or two for them. So if you're talking to me about Mike Evans, I don't want to be talked to about Mike Evans.
Yeah. Okay. I feel that. And I mean, the news that the Texans are not expected to pursue Mike Evans hit like drugs I've never taken before. I mean, that was incredible to hear, because I was worried for a second there that the Texans might be trying to sink 25 to 30 million of their cap space. I understanding that cap math is different. It wouldn't exactly be that number. They'd probably work some magic to make it less than that. But understanding that his salary would be equivalent to about, maybe half, 3/8, I don't know. I'd throw out all kinds of fractions that are too high relative to the Texans cap space. So I'd say that Mike Evans was a name that was being thrown around that I was like, I mean, if I'm looking at the draft, the thing that makes me cringe is first round mocks that have the Texans taking tackles. But I guess at this point, if I'm looking at players, as much as I talked about Derrick Henry potentially being someone that the Texans could sign, I'd say him or Austin Ekeler are guys that I'd see being, mocked to the Texans. And I'm just like, are we sure about that? Or Tony Pollard's another one, just as a premier standalone back without any help, like him and another guy, sure. But Tony Pollard just being the guy the Texans signed to be their, main back was like, okay, I'm not quite sure I like that. Final question. What's a position that you think the Texans are going to address in free agency that you'd rather them address in the draft?
Corner. I feel like we've talked at length about some good corners, good young corners. Like you said, Steven Nelson's on the backside. I get Derek Stingley's, bond, brotherhood, that sort of thing. I understand that completely. For me, while I think that bringing him back wouldn't hurt, I could see you spend that money elsewhere. When we talk about the potential of signing two running backs, which for me, it just kind of floors me. You something's going to have to give if that's the case. You're basically taking that money that you would spend on another premier player and now sink it into two running backs that are going to make probably above average money. So corner is probably the scariest. Linebacker too, I guess, just for all the facts we already stated about how we feel it's more suited for the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think there's merit to bringing in a veteran presence at linebacker. And I think that corner is really the only position I can think of, because all the other ones, like I said, I could see even corner included, but like defensive tackle, I could see them addressing that in free agency and the draft. I could see them addressing tight end in free agency and the draft, wide receiver. Wide receiver is probably a position that I'd prefer them address in the draft. I don't think they're going to address it in free agency, though. I mean, it's possible. You got names like Gabe Davis, Tyler Boyd that have been linked to being potential targets for the Texans. So they could do that. But to me, yeah, I guess I'll go with wide receiver. I don't specifically think, but I mean, if they were to consider addressing wide receiver in free agency, I think they should address it in the draft. That's just, I mean, I think that that's a position where they already have experience in the room. Whether or not they cut Robert Woods is a whole nother thing that kind of affects it, but you'd expect Nico Collins to kind of step up and be that veteran presence with being in the league for 4 years. I think that's where you kind of start to look and go, okay, this guy's been around long enough. He's in line for an extension. You know, that's the guy we're going to look to. So I don't see any issue with having a, you know, more inexperienced wide receiver room, especially with guys like Tank Dell and Nico Collins being the inexperienced guys. So that's a position I'd rather them address in the draft. But on that note, do you have any final words to say before we close out this final Free Agent Friday?
Can't wait for free agency. Can't wait for the draft. I want to start playing football the day after both.
Let's do it. Do you hear? Oh, I guess there is one thing. I guess that was earlier this week, but I'll talk about it. We didn't talk about it on the Monday episode. The NFL potentially pushing for an 18-game season.
I really don't hope they do that. I just, unless you're going to take away all the preseason games, I mean.
I think that's what you have to do. You have to take away another, at least one more preseason game. There was talk that if they don't do that, that they push the Super Bowl back another week, which would make it on President's Day, which would mean that the Monday after the Super Bowl would officially be a national holiday. So I'm all for that, but I don't know. I think that I don't want to say I wasn't a huge fan. I just didn't see the necessity to extend the season to 17 games. I thought 16 was fine. I think that there's only so many times you can do that, right? Like you go from 14 games to 16 games, and then you see all these old records for the NFL kind of go away. And there's a natural progression where as players get better, records get broken. But if you just start giving an extra game to these players, I mean, those records will get broken quicker. Or worse, as the season extends, we'll see like an NBA type thing where we'll see receivers on load management and, you know, might see backup quarterbacks play more because, you know, at week 16, you've locked up the one seed or you've locked up, you're not going to get the one seed and you've locked up the playoffs. What's the point in playing your starting quarterback? I don't like the prospect of seeing less than the best version of the game at any time. So I don't know. Those are all really out there and outlandish situations personally, but I mean, it is stuff that would make me hesitant. So I'm not hugely for the 18 game season, but with that, yeah, thanks for tuning into this Free Agency Friday. The bullpen is your home for all things Texans. So make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. However you are receiving this media. I, James Roy, am N1 Texans fan on all social media. Tom is at Third Coast Tom on Twitter. And then he has also made his Instagram public now. So you can follow him on Instagram at TCTom1. And he, you know, he's been interacting with my stories. So maybe he'll interact with your stories too. I mean, we'll see how it goes, but yeah, thanks for tuning in. And like I said, make sure you stay tuned in for top tier, excellent level Texans content. As always, stay classy, Houston, and vamos Texans. Thanks for tuning into The Bullpen, a Texans podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen. Take the handoff. Stroud looking.